How about some bread made from scratch, just like Mama used
to
make?
Ooh, nice.
It used to be all over the greater Rochester area,
Oh, yeah,
Tom.
Yeah.
But the old school Italian bakeries, they've been taking a hit the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, the good news, there is a place on the west side you can go and get the warm bread you've been jonesing for. Just make sure they're home when you get there.
What do you mean home?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So over the weekend, I'm driving Stella, my oldest, to a friend's house, lives out in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Vintage Lane.
Yeah.
Driving down Vintage Lane, and there is a regular-ass house just on Vintage, and out front there is a sign.
What's this say?
The sign reads, quote, artisan sourdough bread, $8, ring the bell.
Wait, you go to somebody's house?
Yes.
So it's like a lemonade stand, but for sourdough bread.
And they're going to hand you bread.
And the lemonade is inside the house behind the door. Then there is a phone number underneath in case you want to like check it out.
Okay. Put your order in.
Yeah. So it seems that there was someone selling bread out of their front door to people just driving down the street.
You make a mean sourdough.
You guys interested?
No. I don't know.
I mean, I am a little curious.
No, but I mean, I don't know how you do this.
What do you mean?
How clean you are.
You don't know how any of the bakery you've ever been to do it.
Yeah, but they have a license. Like, they have a health inspector.
Put a pin in that. We'll come back around.
There's not a pet walking around.
Okay. Kimmy, you interested?
I'm a little interested only because, like, obviously, like, you think your sourdough bread is good enough that people are going to want it.
That's
so I am curious.
That bakes.
I am curious to know why you're going this far out of your way to sell it. So I might try it once.
Okay. How successful do you think this person is selling $8 loaves of sourdough out of their front door?
I don't know.
They ain't.
They wouldn't do it if it wasn't
working.
That's
what I
mean.
Like, I don't think they'd put the effort in if it wasn't working.
They ain't making
bank. If people
weren't
coming back for it.
What do you think it made a month?
I don't know. Let's say you make an extra $300 a month.
You ain't making no $300 off your lousy-ass sour bread.
It's like 35 loaves. That's like, what, 8 loaves a week, 9 loaves a week?
You're talking Jesus amount of bread.
That's no. Wait. Loaves, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is it an easy bread to make or something?
No,
it's not,
actually.
Making sourdough bread right now, and I don't know, I don't understand, like, where this trend came from.
So my sister is in her sourdough era
right
now? I'm
multiple family members into this all of a sudden.
Yeah, apparently you have to, like, let it sit. There's, like, a bacteria involved. It's a whole
thing. Oh, it's a process.
But my sister is great at it. Okay.
Right.
So you had said, Tommy, you don't want to go buy it out of this person's front door because you don't know about...
I don't know them. Okay. And most people are grimy.
We learned last year
that
the state of New York relaxed laws when it came to selling food that you're allowed to sell and cook out of your own kitchen. And that caused a boom in the sell-from-home grub crowd.
I think you were saying salmonella.
There are several folks who sell everything from baked goods to cookies to pies to single meals to all the way to like giant catering orders.
Right.
And it's all from their home kitchen. So in that way, this house on Vintage Lane is not all that strange.
Okay.
The sign is strange.
Yes.
Because, like, I've seen people try and sell food like this, Kimmy, via their, like, Instagram and Facebook pages. And
I've seen, like, multiple, like, small businesses pop up, like, organically like that, where it starts as just, like, a home project, and then it kind of grows because, you know, people can also share how much they liked your cookies. So, it expands that way. I get, like, starting from that point.
In this case, you're just knocking on a stranger's door.
Yeah.
Looking for bread.
I need some bread.
I'm pretty sure that's how Les Mis started, with a southern accent for some reason.
Yeah, because at least on, you know, social media, I could see pictures of your stuff.
Yes.
So
and
I don't
your
know
house.
Anything other than a sign.
By the way, I'm checking out. As I'm walking up, I'm looking around that house.
Bro, you don't know what the back of houses for every kitchen you go to looks
like. I know. I know.
And you have worked in a back of a house where you were wiping yourself with meat. You laugh about it and go, I don't want you to eat in somebody's kitchen. That's gross.
So I know of what I speak.
Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'm dropping off my oldest daughter at her friend's house over the weekend. I'm on Vintage Lane. There's a sign out inside of somebody's house. It's a regular-ass house. Artisan sourdough bread, $8. Ring the bell. And it's got a phone number underneath. So I almost stopped because I do love me some sourdough. Mm-hmm. It is the Alabama in the power rankings of bread.
Okay.
Do they give you, like, the types of sourdough bread, or you just got to knock, and then
that's too much sign.
Surprise.
Kimmy, I've given you all the information I have on the sourdough. Mm. I mean, I guess it's kind of like a fruit and veggie stand out in the country.
Yeah, but the fruit and veggies do all the work.
Okay.
So, like, nature makes that thing, and then you just take it. You can't just throw bread seeds in your yard and get loaves of bread.
No, but I mean, like,
you know what I mean?
No, but like, those people have to. They have to clean the produce. Their hands are all over it.
Well, you wash it when you go home. Okay. You cook it. It's a little different. Yeah. Listen, I'm not even crazy about those egg stands.
Yeah, the eggs are weird.
Those country eggs.
And like, maybe it's just because I'm not used to it.
It doesn't seem right.
No, I'm kind of with you.
Yeah,
makes me uncomfortable.
I'm afraid I'm either going to get sick or I'm going to crack this thing open and there's going to be a half a beak and an eyeball floating in my omelet.
It's extra protein.
Well, poor little Chester didn't make it.
Chester
the chicken.
Half-formed chicken and an egg. So let's, this is not the first time something like this, Tommy, has become popular. Lest we not forget the homemade cake boom of the early 90s.
Oh, we had a comedic buddy that did this.
Look, in his defense, if your mom didn't do it, you had an aunt or a grandma
that
did it. Yeah. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Every woman back in the day,
yes,
they lost their ass buying all that stuff, the pans and the, you know, fondant.
Yes.
All that stuff, thinking they were going to start their own business.
The forms and all that.
Yes. But now, it seems, Kimmy, and tell me if I'm wrong, like, we watched women just lose money hand over fist on the cake business, but people seem to be making money with this home kitchen
stuff.
Well,
I think it's a little less... are you talking about kitchen stuff in general or just the sourdough bread?
Just in general.
Oh, okay.
No, am I wrong?
You still got to know what you're doing.
Well, yes.
And like be good at it, you know?
But like, Tommy, somebody sold all of our mothers, aunts, and grandmas that they could be professional cake makers.
Yeah, and here's the thing that they did. And even if you were good, so we had a friend, a comedian.
Yeah.
And she was doing it. And what she didn't factor in was how she was going to deliver the cake.
Right, that is the complicated
part. Yeah, it didn't go so well, man. Because like her signature one was that M&M caricature.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just rolled all over her hatch. It just looked like the poor thing exploded in there.
I wonder how many people got out of that homemade cake thing because they weren't successful or just because like the time and effort they were putting into it was like exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up the time and effort. I want to talk about that in a second. But, I mean, Kimmy, I have vivid memories. My mom bought into this crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have vivid memories of, like, being, like, 12 years old, going to the basement and just, like, piles of these cake pans that my mother was going to make. Like, you know, oh, this is going to be my ticket. I'm going to be a businesswoman. I'll show you. I'm going to make Barbie cakes. Check out my Barbie cakes. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Salt. Hey, Salt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy. So, you guys talked about street bread, basically, and I'm telling you, forget everything you've heard. If you ever find yourself on an Indian reservation, I'm a Native American, and you'll find people with all these kiosks selling Indian cornbread.
Ooh.
And I'm telling you, out of a cooler, back of someone's van, it's probably the best snack you can stick in your freezer and have anytime.
Okay. Can I just, now that sounds delicious, and I'm game, because I'll eat anything out of a parking lot, whatever. Tommy, you just sat here for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And said, I don't trust anybody's kitchen, blah, 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 blah. Salt describes this bread with nothing but it's sold out of a thing. And you go, ooh.
Yeah, but it's on a reservation.
What is the difference?
It's Native American.
What is the difference?
Like, it's handed down through generations.
Yeah, I don't think they make it the same way, Salt, as they made it 200 years ago?
They do it old school.
They do. It's a cornmeal type of bread. With all kinds of, everyone's got their own style.
It's different.
It's not different. It's the same thing.
No. I will eat anything a Native American hands me.
What?
I'll stand on that.
Why?
Okay.
Every time I've been to the reservation, they always treat me nice.
Okay.
And even like when I was out in the Dakotas, and they thought I was a Seminole. True story. True story.
I thought they were taller than Seminoles. So, all right, I'm gonna go on your recommendation. If it's not good, I'm gonna be upset with you.
Let's do it.
All right.
And those people know corn.
So, buddy, thank you.
Did they invent corn?
I don't think you invent corn.
No, I think they did. I think they figured out how to make corn.
Okay, I'm gonna. I don't know. I also love his.
Some people call it maize.
I love how Salt starts to call. Forget everything you think you know about bread. Done. 252-WCMF. We started this conversation talking about this house on Vintage Lane that's selling sourdough bread for $8 based on the side of their front lawn. Mike's on CMF. Hey, Mikey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Dex. Hey, next time you're in the area, you certainly got to stop in there. Absolutely amazing bread.
Okay.
She's my wife's cousin. Her name is Sarah.
Oh, this is a sales pitch now?
Let the man speak.
We have a connection.
This is his Italian duty. He has to call on behalf of his wife's cousin.
She was born in England, moved over here many years ago. and absolutely makes the best bread around. She actually came over this past Friday with homemade pizza. With the bread that she made, by far the best pizza I ever had.
All right, so let's walk through this with me, Mike. All right, so first off, how old is this woman selling the sourdough?
Mid-30s.
Okay, good call. All right, Tommy, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you trust younger woman or older woman making you bread out of her house?
Me?
Yeah.
Old.
Why? That's a woman whose cat's going to be, like, sticking his butt in the dough. You got dough. You got cat butt bread, son.
Yeah, have you ever had...
Now you got worms.
Even if that older person you're thinking of like is a great baker, great cook, every now and then an ingredient gets forgotten.
There you go. All
well, right. I mean, she's like ancient, like she's feeble.
I don't know.
You said old, and old to you is old. Hey, Mike, how long has she been doing this for?
6+ years.
Wow!
She just started making it an official like business.
Okay. So you're telling me that I should walk up her driveway, ring the doorbell, buy sourdough bread, and it's going to be the best bread I've ever had in my life.
Absolutely. She's an amazing mom of a whole bunch of boys. And without question, walk on up there, get the best bread you will ever find.
Well, why are you making
about cats running around? How about a bunch of grimy teenagers?
Oh, no. They're all young. They're all under 8.
Sticking their little fingers in there.
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, I got to ask Tommy a question, Mike, while you're still here, because Salt called up.
Yeah.
And he goes, Native American bread. And you go, I'm in, because it's a different culture.
Yeah.
She's English. You're not more in because she's English?
No. They're not known for food.
What are you talking about? Fish and chips?
It's all bland crap.
Peas and sausage?
Yeah. They put, what is that, blood sausage?
Well, yeah, that's not bread.
Yeah,
I know, but but they consider that food.
By the way, oh yeah, you go to any Italian restaurant, there's a bunch of Mexican guys making your pasta. It doesn't make a difference.
Makes it authentic.
You can cook it. Hey, Mike, thanks for the info. I'm going to stop in and get it.
Well, and not only that, not only just she makes all different flavored breads, too.
How fat are you?
She's trying a chocolate Nutella bread.
Wait, you say Nutella bread?
Yeah, Nutella.
Like the...
The spread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's in the bread.
In the bread.
What are you not getting about this?
I never heard of chocolate bread.
Yes, you have.
Chocolate bread?
You've never heard of bread with like some chocolate? Like any kind of like pastry at a pastry shop?
No, but he's talking like a loaf of bread. Oh my God, you make a sandwich.
Same damn thing. You're like a human, an alien trying to pretend to be a human. Wait a minute. There are things in your bread? You can put cheese and chocolate?
Don't be acting like you all high and mighty. You had chocolate bread.
I've had chocolate bread. It's standard stuff. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
See you, fat boy.
Why wouldn't chocolate go with bread?
I don't know.
Like
I'm
any baked good.
I'm having a BLT.
Okay, well, obviously you're not going to make good a chocolate. Sandwich with the chocolate bread.
Mm. It's like cutting a muffin open and putting ham on it. You wouldn't do that either.
Not again.
Okay. Actually.
I think it could work.
Is that our million-dollar idea?
Mm-hmm.
Muffin ham sandwiches?
A ham muffin? I had that last night at your mom's house. It was delicious. Oh, yeah, do is go up and ring the bell.
Shut up!
Set a sign out front.
Shut up.
Sour muffin ham.
This is a massive honor, Tommy.
Massive?
Something in our backyard is the best in all of the USFA.
Wow.
And this is one of the rare occasions where folks in this area won't even argue it's top-notch. Because every time we have a story like this, someone will go, not that good. So if this is tops in America, are we doing all we can to get folks out here the use that it can bring us?
So we got to promote it more.
I agree.
All right.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Letchworth State Park.
What did we get?
Has been named the best state park in America.
Wait, number one out of all them fancy-ass?
Number one.
West, like the Glacier one and the Geyser one?
Number one. Of all them fancy ass West, the Glacier
you know,
one,
the one
and
like,
the Geyser one.
You know, like Yellowstone.
That's a federal park.
Oh.
The state park.
All right, state park.
Number one, state park in America. This according to a story in USA Today. And it's a big deal, Tommy. Even bigger, when you realize this is not the first time Letchworth has won this honor. It was also named number one all the way back in 2015 as well.
Damn.
So twice in a decade.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's hard to argue. It's very unique.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of space. Grand Canyon of the East, from what I hear. But if this is such a gem, are we in our area getting the full potential out of what Letchworth has to offer for the community?
I mean, just locally, not bringing in tourists.
Right, let me put it. No, I mean tourists.
All right.
Let me put it this way. Everyone has heard of the Grand Canyon.
Well, yeah, number one.
Has everyone heard of Letchworth?
No.
Okay.
Probably not. We didn't even know they did dam tours there until last week.
That was Mount Morris.
But it's all connected.
Isn't
yes,
it, well, is it part of it, though?
I love part of it.
Same area.
Yeah, I think it's technically
like,
in
I would
the
think
park.
Like that would also be a draw for people.
Okay, there you go. You got a damn tour.
You could throw that in there.
I am arguing that our area could be doing more to highlight the park and make it a legitimate tourist destination, if not for people around the country, at least for folks in the Northeast.
But, like, a park is hard to promote beyond what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't add to it. It's not like an amusement park where you could put in more rides or better food. Hey, come look at these trees.
I guess would the can you camp there?
Yes, you can.
So, I mean, like maybe hiking? Adding things to that
nope,
aspect
that's
of
not
it?
What it. See, here's why you guys are thinking inside the box.
Right.
And I'm always thinking outside the box.
What do you got?
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What can you do to make what Letchworth is bigger? And you're right. You can't fix the park itself.
No, I mean, it is what it is. It's
what
beautiful.
I am arguing
what?
Is the Grand Canyon. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon.
I have.
There are cities all around the Grand Canyon that have restaurant shops, mom-and-pop hotels, bed and breakfast. They make a fortune off of it. It's a legitimate tourist destination. Mount Morris, Geneseo, Nunde could be those towns. High-end jerks love the look. Of towns like that.
Yeah.
Right? Old school Main Street, USA.
But they got to look quaint.
Got to have the right stuff.
They look quaint.
Mount Morris ain't no quaint.
Mount Morris is quaint. If you don't know anything about Mount Morris, you drive through.
Half the shops are closed.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like you are missing an opportunity to open up those shops to cater to folks that would be willing to travel to see the Grand Canyon of the East.
All right, you got
to
jazz up them joints.
But that's what I mean. Look, what's the difference between Mount Morris and Skinny Atlas? What's the difference between Geneseo and Skinny Atlas?
You got it. Well, you need those. Those pointless shops.
That's what I'm saying, right? A couple of nice, like, high-end bed and breakfast. All of a sudden, that whole
cafe. Got to have a cafe. Yeah. Not a diner. Got to have a cafe.
Get a cafe. Go get a cafe. All of a sudden, hole in the ground.
All right.
Got a bunch of rich jerks showing up wanting the quaintness of what is old-style America.
All right. Okay. Everybody, you can't stand.
Yes, I agree I can't stand, but they got money. And money talks. Holes walk. Which is why your mom walks like that when I'm all done with her with a limp. That's what I'm saying. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
I mean, it feels like you're leaving.
It's never going to happen, man. Why for not? Some reason, I don't see it.
Why? Because you just hate all ideas.
No, I don't want to hate all ideas, but like it should have already happened.
Well, no,
I mean, it's been a state park for like a trillion years.
Okay, in the defense of these towns like Geneseo, Nunde, Mount Morris, like the idea of like Main Street USA boutique is relatively new. It's only blown up in the last 10 to 15 years where it's become like a legitimate tourist destination idea. I'm telling you, man, you go in and you put a couple of things in those towns, it completely transforms how their economy works.
So you know what you need?
What's that?
You need like one rich woman
you
to
need
go
influencers.
In there.
Yeah. You need like the people that go and take pictures of these cute little spots, and then it, you know, it helps one business be successful there, and then others, you know, follow.
But you need a rich woman to invest in those businesses.
Why does it have to be a woman?
Because that's who does it.
Okay, you're thinking of one specific town, the woman who started American Girl Dolls, who bought that town east of us.
Yeah.
Where Wells College used to be.
Yeah, like she took it over.
No, she did.
But that's like, but that's your vision.
Or as a community, you could move towards this. Have a focus.
But I think
doing,
you
got to
let
man.
People know about it, too. I mean, that's part of it, too.
No,
it's like
I mean,
letting people know this exists. Because even people that live nearby it don't necessarily know it exists. Like, they know the town. Maybe they've driven through it once in their life, but it's not something that they think about that often.
Look, I agree with your influencer idea, but there has to be stuff there first.
Right, you gotta
have shop. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, it would take, like, one little spot to have some success. And I think it just kind of, it's a domino effect from there.
Look, I think it's easy to make this work if these towns like Mount Morris, Geneseo, and Nunde wanted it. The question is, would they want something like that? Do the folks who live in that town want tourists coming through and spending their money? Or do they enjoy, you know, their quiet, slow lives?
Right, slow out there.
Geneseo, Nunde,
Well, I wonder what those towns are like when... Because, I mean, Letchworth does have some things that people will travel for. Like, don't they do the hot air balloon thing.
Oh, the balloon festival! Didn't they not do it last year?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought
that was Dansville.
That's Dansville
balloon festival.
Yeah,
I forgot. We got so many balloon festivals.
But I know like people from kind of far will travel for stuff like that, and I would imagine that affects those little towns nearby. So I wonder how they feel when events like that are going on and they get more people than normal through.
252-WCMF, Letchworth State Park has been named the best state park in America. It's the second time it's happened in this USA Today poll in the last 10 years. And there are towns surrounding Letchworth that are missing a fortune. I mean, our region does not advertise Letchworth regionally the way that it should. I mean, look, the smartest move right now.
What's that?
If you wanted to attract more people regionally to Letchworth, advertise it. And play up how budget-friendly it is.
Right? Yeah, it's cheap.
It's a world-class vacation for the cost of a camping trip.
Yeah.
You can drive, you can bring your tent, your food, you take all in this beauty. What, for $100, $200 for a week? That would bring people out in droves, especially right now, and it would create memories that would have folks coming back for a lifetime. Plus,
what?
You're doing a nice community service by helping people save money, giving them access to the outdoors, and exposing more people who may not know to how beautiful the nature part of upstate New York is.
Okay.
I mean, that's a major factor, Kimmy. We've been hearing from people that moved from downstate up here to Rochester, is they had no idea how beautiful it was. Win, win, win.
But, like, all right, you don't have any hotels.
Right.
You got to have hotels.
It's not set up for tourism.
No, it's set up for camping and kids.
Understood.
Yeah. Like you talk about, like, Skinny Atlas.
Yeah.
But they got, like, those high-end houses and motels and restaurants. And like, I don't see that up
Skinny
there.
Atlas has two hotels and, like, a motel.
But they have a high-end spa. Understood. They got all those mansions.
What's preventing that from happening in Mount Morris, Nundae, or Geneseo?
I think where it's located.
Okay. Why? Why is Skinny Atlas any different?
Because it's always been, like, where the wealthy hung out.
Are you sure?
Like, my mother would have told you when you were banging her, but apparently you were banging her so hard you injured her and caused her to limp, so she couldn't tell you at the time that when she was a little girl.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
All the rich, like, a big job was to work in Skinny Atlas for those rich people.
Understood, but that's also back in the day. Like, they got pigs, you know what I mean? Like, it's different than what it is now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Canandaigua a gem of the Finger Lakes. Canandaigua today was not Canandaigua 30 years ago.
No.
Right?
It's something has to happen for it to start changing.
And so, you know what it is? It's not a resort.
It can be.
It could. But then you need hotels and tennis courts and golf courses and all that stuff.
Yeah. You need some scenery.
Yeah.
Look, Letchworth Pines, that's not classy enough for you?
Oh, yeah. The Pines is great.
Got bowling. They booked you as a headliner several times.
I had a beer thrown at me there.
And that was during one of his good sets.
No, I was just bowling.
252 WZMF. Here's why the attention for Letchworth may be necessary. There is a really good chance that you've never heard of any of the other parks on this list.
Okay.
For example, Tommy, are you familiar with Blue Springs State Park?
No.
That is in Florida. And it's known for its manatees. Like, manatees just hang out in there.
All right.
Gooseberry State Park?
No.
Minnesota seems similar to Letchworth. Porcupine Mountain State Park.
Sounds dangerous.
Michigan, not very pretty. The point I'm
making. Where you sit.
All of these places, they got photos. They look really nice.
Yeah.
All of them are where outdoorsy people would like to spend time. And until right now, most people listening have never heard of Blue Springs State Park, Gooseberry State Park, or Porcupine Mountain State Park.
I think you just said a key thing.
What?
Where outdoorsy people like to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think outdoorsy people care about towns and quaintness. They want to be out in the wilderness, cooking their own food and, you know, hiking.
I agree with you. But you're already getting those people. Those people are already coming to Letchworth. What I'm saying is
they already traveled and stuff like that.
But I don't think those other people care about it. Like, the high-end foo-foos don't care.
Here's what you want.
Oh,
you want the Kimmies and her friends of the world.
Okay.
Ones that don't want to go camping in Letchworth, right?
They want the beauty of nature without living in it.
Yes, right. They want to take a one-day hike where they can walk to the edge of a cliff. Take a selfie, put it on Instagram where they're looking out over the sky and put some inspirational quote you know, life is here, but I'm hearer. You know what I mean? Like,
all right, so that's
stupid.
How you promote it then.
I'll give you an example. Breezy down on PXY.
Yeah, yeah.
Her girlfriend's birthday was over the weekend. They were planning on going hiking somewhere down in Skinny Atlas. It rained. They couldn't go. But had they gone hiking, they would have taken some lame-ass picture that didn't mean anything, make it look like they were roughing it. That's who you want.
All right, so that's how you promote it.
They got the monies.
Okay. You're going to get the monies.
252 WCMF. Is this Mike who hates us? Okay, Mike from Skinny Atlas who hates us. Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
Duffy, you're doing it again. I called a couple weeks ago. You got to stop telling people to come to Skinny Atlas. Don't do that.
No, I'm saying don't go to Skinny Atlas because you only got two hotels. But,
excellent.
Mike, you get the point I'm making here, right?
Well, I got to say one thing. You wonder why. Like, we've got the top 10 cleanest lake in the world compared to your brown Genesee River.
Well, you know why? It's because Tommy's mom never washed her you-know-whatness.
Right, but we don't, you know, we don't serve the brown water Genesee beer here. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's the lake, I think, that attracts a lot of people. All right. The ambiance.
No,
that's why I drive down there.
I do.
Pointlessly, that clean water.
Do you not walk along the water?
I mean, look.
Yeah, Mike, but it could be filthy. I don't care.
Mike makes a valid point. But, Mike, I will ask you this
question. I drink water when my mother's vagina's been in. That's just sick.
By the way, that's almost impossible. Mike, how long have you lived in Skinny Alice?
About 35 years.
Okay. Was it always this foo-foo, or did something happen in the last, like, 15, 20?
Something that happened. Good question. So when the Clintons came to town two summers in a row, that made a huge, you know, impact, and then it seemed like all the celebrities started following suit, showing up after.
All right, so it's just
all your SU coaches, like, you know, Tesco, Boeheim, you know, they all got houses on the lake. You know, Jeter, you know, somewhere on the lake. Nobody seems to know where, but he's living here somewhere.
So it just takes one thing
to make it seem exclusive.
Bingo.
I think that's part of it too. Yeah. You have to make it sound like
Jim Boeheim. That's what you got to get.
If rich private people want to be here, then I want to be here too.
There's our plan. Right. We got it all done.
As long as they don't take my parking spot, that's fine.
All right, Mike. Look, you help us out with this. Less people are going to Skinny Alice. It's a win-win.
I would. That would be great. Yeah, because then I could get through town in 5 minutes like I do, you know, in the middle of March when nobody's here.
Oh, my God. You sound more like an old man. Mike, I'm hanging up on you. Thanks for the call, buddy. There goes Skinny Atlas Mike.
All right.
You know what
Don't
sucks?
Take his parking spot.
Well, you know what sucks?
And that traffic is too much in the summertime.
Kimmy, that Main Street Skinny Atlas is right where our signal dies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it is?
So he's right on the cusp.
He must be right on the line. Hey, Mike, why don't you move 100 yards to the north? How about that?
He can't. There's no parking.
Don't cry because it's over.
What happened?
Smile because it happened.
Okay.
Although this year did feel different for Amherst fans. Like, this was the shot they had to do it. The goalie was playing fantastic. He had a lot of young guys that are just blossoming in this moment all at the same time. Yet Sunday night, it did not matter.
Oh, man.
But it's not the fault of anyone wearing a sweater on the ice. It wasn't the fault of anyone in a suit and tie or the bench. There was one man, who is responsible for this loss.
What happened?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. On Sunday night, your Rochester Americans were in Laval, Quebec to play a winner-take-all Game 5.
Wow.
To get to the Northern Division Finals of the Calder Cup playoffs. And I was all excited.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. Kimmy, we were told that these games would be televised on MSG.
Yeah. We quickly found out that wasn't the case.
The day of the first game, they were like, kidding.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to watch the game in Quebec, you either had to drive to Quebec, which, by the way, ton of Amherst fans in Quebec.
Wow.
Drove up for this game.
They did travel well.
Yes. Or you had to get on this app called Flow TV.
So you just watch it on, like, a streaming service.
Yes, but here's the thing. It's got all the AHL games, but they only broadcast the Jumbotron version of it.
Oh, so it's like a camera looking at a...
No.
Monitor?
They plug into, like, the Jumbotron
right into
feed.
It? Oh, all right.
But it's funny.
Every now and then you get, like, fans.
That's all you're getting. Yeah. So, like, I'm watching these Frenchmen just, oh, wee. The Amherst got blown out. They lost 5-0.
Ran out of gas.
And it's understandable, right? Your backs are against the wall. Laval was the best team in the league all year long. Understandable.
Okay.
And I don't blame anyone on that roster.
Who do you blame?
I blame my brother Ryan.
Uh-oh.
What the hell, Ryan?
What'd he do?
All right, so I call him on Saturday, and I go, hey, man, I'm going to get the game. Do you want to come over and watch it? And he's all excited. He grabs his kids. He brings them over. We saw how the game went. In fact, it was so bad, there was hardly even an exciting moment for the Amherst.
Yeah, but you said it was a blowout.
Yeah, like it was, So there's 2 minutes left. The Amherst are down 5-0.
Why are you watching it?
Well, because I paid for the game. We'll get to that in a sec.
You paid?
Oh, you don't even want to know.
Why'd you even tell him?
My brother looks at me with 2 minutes left and goes, man, every Amherst game I went to this year or watched on TV, they got killed.
Oh, really?
You didn't want to mention that before I invited you over and spent money to watch this game.
Hey, I might be bad luck.
How do you not mention that as a sports fan, which my brother is?
Yeah.
If you have not watched a single victory all year long, stay the hell out of my house. Don't watch the game.
No more jinx.
Do it for everybody else.
Yeah.
Cost me $30.
Plus all the chips you all eat.
Yeah, well, no, I had to get pizza for it.
Was that a $30 one-time purchase, or do you get it for like a month now?
I get it for a month now.
Okay.
So I get to watch Laval.
Are you not going to watch it anymore?
No, of course I'm not going to watch it. My thought process, I was so confident the Amherst were going to win, they just felt like a team of destiny.
Yeah, you figured, well, I'm going to use it for a while.
Exactly. I'll have the rest of the playoffs. I can watch them play wherever they're traveling, whether they're not at home. This will be great.
Now you're committed.
I spent $30
for a night. You must have to find something to watch to justify it.
Kimmy, I'm like, they have all the minor league things, and I love hockey.
Is it just hockey?
It's I don't know.
Oh, I was just curious if they had other.
But it's all minor league stuff.
Maybe yeah. Every now and then you'll find some unique sport you get sucked into.
I spent $30 to watch the Avericks get beat 5-0, and my brother stuffed pizza in his mouth for 3 hours. God, it was brutal. And what makes it even more infuriating? AHL games go really fast because there's less commercial breaks, right? And they're not broadcast television.
Right.
So, like, you know, the average hockey game is like 3 hours long. This thing was over in like just over 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
No, not wow, when you spent $30.
No, but it's done at least.
It's like $12 an hour. There's sex lines I could have called and gotten better rates on.
Even if I spent the money, if it's a blowout, I'm just turning it off.
No, I spent $30.
I spent good money. I'm going
to
watch it.
Here's why you watch it to the end, because you don't want to miss some epic comeback because you decided to turn it off early because you gave up on it. So I'm going to watch it till the end just to make sure I don't miss anything.
There was something super interesting.
What's that?
Okay, so, you know, we work in the business here, radio.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to commercial, you can't hear us.
Mm.
And thank God, because we'd have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah.
Don Stevens, he's been the voice of the Amherst forever. Great guy.
Yeah, really good at his job. Well,
and forgive, he has a color analyst with him, and I don't know his name, and I apologize. I'm sorry. But when they went to commercial, the mics were still live.
Oh, so you can hear them just going back and
just
forth?
Just having their in-between.
They're just talking?
Yes, they're talking back and forth. And we realized that Ryan and I, in the first commercial break, because it's what's broadcast on our sister station, the Fan 950, right? It was almost more interesting. Like, Don, please tell me you know the mic's still on. Please tell me. And they didn't do anything, so they must have known.
So the whole game it was like that.
The entire time the mics were on where we could hear them talking.
So what were they talking about?
Just hockey stuff.
I mean, they weren't talking about other things?
No, they didn't. I mean, I guess you're in the zone in a game like that.
Yeah, but you think you're a couple of guys. I mean, like your weekend.
Nothing personal, nothing inappropriate. Cause like
that's a pro.
I love Don Stevens. So like part of me was like, please, Don, I hope you know. The other part of me.
They would have to know at this point.
Maybe you still slip up.
Yeah. I mean, you feel comfortable.
A little too comfortable.
The mic's off.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know how you do that, man.
No kidding. I've known you. You can't do it with the mic on. No, but I mean,
like they didn't drop one mom joke.
No, they don't do mom jokes in
none?
The booth during commercial breaks of the Amherst Game 5 winner take all.
Right between the pipes, just like your mom.
Do you think?
It's a terrible Don Stevens impression.
Do you think you could go 3 hours? At any point in time without talking crap on at least one person?
Impossible.
Like somebody, especially at work, somebody you work with, somebody that annoyed you.
Like three
that
people
did something.
Just walked by this room. I got a set on each one of them right now.
Okay, just to give you a little behind the scenes, Dylan, who's our engineer,
yeah,
really nice guy.
Top kid.
All right. He was dressed so silly that I stopped him in the hallway. Mm-hmm. I brought him in the room so I could do jokes about him.
Yes.
His outfit, yeah.
To his face, to both of you.
But then you got mad because you didn't get it.
Well, no, because I did it first to him, and then he didn't get it, so I wasn't going to waste the good material on him. I had to use it. But the point, Kimmy, who are you asking? Do you think you can go 3 hours?
I'm not even talking about just us. Like, I wonder if like anybody at their job could go 3 hours while having a conversation with somebody and not say, like, not even anything serious or inappropriate, but mention something that somebody did that
annoyed
you.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah. It would be almost impossible.
It would be a horrible day.
I'll go even further.
There's a certain percentage of your conversations that, you know, involve something you don't want somebody else to hear.
They were complimenting each other in everything. Like, here's the thing. So, again, we're talking about the Amherst getting beat 5-0. I spent $30 to watch the game thinking I'd get the rest of the playoffs after it was over. So they interviewed former Buffalo Sabre and friend of the show. He's co-hosted before, Andrew Peters.
Okay.
So that was in the second intermission. It's a pre-taped interview. They run the interview. So then they go back to commercial. And Don and the color analyst just kept talking about what a great interview that was, what a great guy Petey was, how great all the interviews
were.
So
it's all positive.
Yes, all of it. And it made me feel weird.
I feel bad for those guys.
Why?
Because they're not having any fun.
Because they're good people. They were having fun. But
are they?
I don't know.
You ever had fun complimenting another guy? Like if I ever came in here, it was just big compliments of so-and-so down the hall. And we go home and go, that was a fun day.
Maybe we're just bad people.
We are, but we have fun doing it.
Okay, but maybe our fun isn't fun to other people.
Oh, that's for sure.
Okay, so there's
I've seen
point.
Our ratings.
You have made my point. Maybe if we made an effort to be kinder, we'd be happier.
I don't think so.
Mm.
I really don't.
We should try it one day. We should try
Shut
one
up.
Day. See how long we can go without saying something bad about somebody.
Because you think you can.
Without saying, look, it would be hard. I can do it. You don't. I have
don't
the filter.
I don't know if you can do it.
Without saying anything bad.
Yeah, because you might do it without really even noticing that you're saying something bad. Your line of bad has been blurred.
I think the only one that could probably, if anybody could achieve it in this room, maybe Kimmy.
No, she's the cattiest bitch of all of us.
But she can also cover it up. I know I can't, and I know you can't.
I think I could do it. No, I got kids, man. I gotta switch when I get home to family time.
You come up with names about those people.
That's a fun, not my kids, but, no, but the guy that my daughter is seeing.
The only way you could do it is if you were distracted by something. Like if you were, like, you know, just trying to get something done or actually working, doing something important. That's the only way I could not say something bad.
Okay, did you hear what you just said?
What?
If someone was working hard trying to get something accomplished?
Yes.
So not Tommy.
No.
Ever in his life. All right, so the off season begins.
Oh, damn!
Shut up! It was fun.
I could not get into that. I could not come over to your house on a weekend night to watch the Ambergs.
We had a blast. Oh, here's the funniest part.
Yeah, you had a blast making fun of your brother.
No, we were.
I don't know. Initially, it was probably fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was exciting until
went
like,
downhill from there.
I mean, it was only 2-0 at the end of the first. Okay, we're all golden. But it was 4-0 in the middle of the second.
Yeah,
that wasn't
out.
Fun anymore. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing, and we got where they went and coming up in a second. You know, it's a big deal, right? All over social media, the Ambergs are pumping out all they can. This is a huge thing for them.
Okay.
So on the Instagram, they have this: take a picture of where you're watching the game. The Ambergs ask fans to do this.
Okay.
And tag us. And we'll share it with you. You
okay.
Know, always wanting to support the hometown team.
Sure.
Ryan and I both on our Amherst sweaters in my basement. We take our picture. Ah.
Oh, you sent it in?
Yeah. Things went so poorly, they didn't repost any pictures of any fans.
They didn't do any of them?
Not a single one.
Oh.
And I get it. Yeah. Like, I feel bad for the kid running the social media account because you're screwed if you
do. He didn't get one bite.
Can't have much fun today.
Nope.